You're tuned to the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Celeste Quinn. Thanks so much for joining us today. Well, last week, as we know, areas of the Midwest and South were hit by deadly storms. Tornadoes tore through the region, leaving more than 50 dead and wide swaths of destruction. Meteorologist Ed Kieser has been following this story, of course, and we were in touch following last Wednesday's storms, one of which, an E4 tornado, hit Harrisburg, Illinois. It killed 6 people, injuring and displacing hundreds of others while destroying as many as 300 homes and 25 businesses. He was very concerned about the storms that would set up on Friday. When we woke up Saturday, we learned of the deaths and destruction in Indiana, Kentucky, Ohio, Alabama, and Georgia. And Ed is with us by phone this afternoon to talk about what happened and why. Hi, Ed.
Good afternoon, Celeste.
So have investigators yet determined how many tornadoes the Midwest and South saw last week?
Well, with the outbreak that occurred on Friday, the unofficial number is around 80. What usually happens is the number comes down a little bit as some of the initial reports of a tornado are multiple reports of the same tornado. But it is going to be close to, if not breaking the record, for the largest number of tornadoes in an outbreak during the month of March. So it was extraordinary in how early in the season it occurred.
What made these storms so potent?
Well, usually you need a strong jet stream, and we had that right over the Midwest late last week, the strong upper air winds aloft. And we also had the moist flow of air coming off the Gulf of Mexico with winds coming more from the south and south-southeast. So there was a change in wind direction and speed with height, with the winds getting faster and coming more out of the west as you get higher up. So any storms that form can easily rotate in those conditions. And it did look like the prime conditions for severe weather, and unfortunately that's exactly what happened. And we're off to an early season this year.
Are early spring storms likely to be this much stronger than those that occur at other times of the year?
It's true that the early tornado season storms have a better chance of reaching the violent category and the strong category for tornadoes. That's not to say they don't occur at other times of the year. Our tornado season in Illinois and Indiana typically runs from very late March through June. The number one month for tornadoes is May, but there is a bias toward the strong to violent tornadoes in March and April, or a little bit earlier in the season. And that is because the jet stream is usually stronger earlier in the season. Jet stream winds are strongest when the temperature difference or gradient from the cold air over the poles and the warmer air in the tropics is greater. And, of course, right now it's still very cold toward the poles, so we have that stronger temperature difference from pole to equator than we do as we get later into spring and summer. So that's one thing that's a bit stronger earlier in the season typically is the jet stream.
Okay, so let me see if I've got this correct. As that cold air remains above us, that sets up a block, and then all that fuel gets concentrated where the jet stream is, and it has been in the Midwest this past week.
Well, this past week, yes, the jet stream winds have been right over us, and now the jet stream's gone a little bit farther south, isn't it quite as strong right now. The setup is not for severe weather this week. Thank goodness we get a break in the action. But there are some climatological factors that are hinting at the fact that this year will likely will have the continuation of the threat of severe weather early in the season this year. Last year was a near record season across the U.S., but the action really didn't get started until April. February and March were rather quiet months, so we're way ahead of last year in terms of getting started earlier.
Yeah, of course, the last April we saw those horrible storms in Alabama.
We did indeed. There were several outbreaks of tornadoes in April, capped off by the April 27th outbreak, which did hit the south and bullseyed right on Alabama. And that alone was the worst outbreak of tornadoes in several decades, and that alone would make last year a remarkably bad tornado season. Then, of course, in May, Joplin, Missouri got hit by an EF5 tornado, and that killed 158 people, and That helped to add to the total, which made last year the worst year for tornado fatalities by far in the modern era of tornado tracking and detection, and we consider the modern era starting about 1950. So last year was extraordinary in many regards, and we hope to not repeat that.
Yeah. What are the characteristics of E4 and E5 tornadoes?
Well, the EF4 and EF5 tornadoes are just they're the strongest ones. They're considered violent tornadoes. When you get the EF5 tornado has rotary winds of 200 miles per hour or more, and 4 is right below that at about 170 to 200 miles per hour. And less than 2% of all tornadoes reach that category. Very few reach that category. And out of those tornadoes, a very, very small number actually get up to the 5 level. In fact, we average only about one EF5, formerly F5 tornado per year in the U.S. Last year there were 6. Many years there are none, and it just varies from year to year a little bit on that. But on average, of all the tornadoes, and on average there are about 1,300 tornadoes a year, only about one reaches the 5 category, and very few more reach 4. So the fact that we've had a few 4s already this year is not good.
Mm. One of the survivors of Friday's severe weather, I heard on the radio this morning, say it was hard to believe that in the space of a minute there was so much damage. Is that truly what it takes, just seconds, a minute?
And that's what it takes. And these storms last week, with the very strong jet stream aloft, were moving along very, very fast, forward speeds of 60 to 70 miles per hour. In fact, there's some study going on now. There might be one tornado that was moving along at a forward speed of over 70 miles per hour, which would be near record territory as well. And you tend to have the faster moving tornadoes at this time of year, I might add. But yeah, it all can happen rather quickly. In my tornado shows over the years, I like to show a video of people running to the basement in a storm near Moline, Illinois in 1990, because a person left the camera running. And from the time they ran to the basement until the destruction in their yard was done was less than half a minute, just extraordinarily fast. And things just change incredibly fast when a tornado comes through.
Yeah. I also read a survivor of severe storms in Alabama say, thank goodness we were prepared because of last year. So to wrap up this afternoon, I think it's important that we talk a little bit about that need to be prepared. What's at the top of the list?
Well, at the top of the list is just knowing what to do if a tornado is going to approach, because as you just mentioned with that other story about the tornado coming quickly, you have to think about what to do before the storm actually happens. So you should have a plan in place. You should know where to go in your home. You should know where to go where you work, the places you spend the most amount of time. You should just have that plan of action build into your brain, so you just instinctively go there. And of course, you want to go to the lowest floor possible in a building. Basements are best. First floors are second best if you don't have a basement. And put as many walls between you and the tornado as possible. And I might add, get under something sturdy. Unfortunately, last week, a few people that were killed in Kentucky and Ohio did go to the basement, but things fell down on them. So getting under something sturdy is very important. Another thing I think is important is you should have a NOAA weather radio with a tone alert device, especially for nighttime storms. More people in this modern era seem to be killed in the middle of the night and early morning hours than other times. I think there is a greater awareness during the daytime of these storms, so that's a good thing to have. And it's good to monitor multiple sources for weather. When I work in a weather office, I don't rely on just one source, and neither should you. So a weather radio, the sirens are good if you're outside, but don't rely on them solely. A lot of people are going to social media nowadays and getting some ground truth from friends and relatives. So there are many places you can go, and, of course, radio and television. And also you should know what counties you live in. So when the warnings come out, you know whether you're impacted or not.
Or you know the one next to you.
The one next to you, and also the ones you travel through. Say you go to Chicago quite a bit, and you want to know that you go through Ford and Iroquois, Kankakee, and Will counties on up to Cook. So it's good to know your counties, because a lot of the official warnings still come out with just county identifications. The warnings are now smaller. They're storm-based polygons as opposed to whole county warnings. And that leads to another round of confusion because sometimes you could have three warnings in effect for three different storms within the same county. And Celeste, I'm sure you're aware of that, covering severe weather sometimes, that you get the multiple layered warnings there. But the warnings are more precise than they used to be. I like it when stations read the actual towns within the polygons so people know if they're really close to where the warning is impacting.
Well, there we have to leave it. Ed, I want to thank you so much for talking with me this afternoon.
My pleasure. Stay safe. And tomorrow, the statewide tornado drill for Illinois occurs at 10 a.m.
Very good. Meteorologist Ed Kieser.